OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. Now is the time to stock up if you want the best selection of hard-to-find ammo. Friendly and knowledgeable customer service, quality and selection you can count on, and the ammo you need delivered fast right to your door. OnlineAmmo.com is the real deal. And my buddy Hank Hayes, the VP of OnlineAmmo.com and master of firearms training and self-protection, wants you to have the code ship free now on all orders over $200. OnlineAmmo.com is more than just an ammo retailer. They also have optics, accessories, and firearms for sale at OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. OnlineAmmo.com.
Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
Yes, we are locked and we are loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. This is the podcast all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And I am Royce, your host, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and an ever so faint but tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people, Hops Number 9. Got a great guest waiting in the wings for us, and I'm going to bring him on here in just a little bit. Want to remind you that you can reach me through the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast Facebook page. You can message me through there or hit me up at Royce@ShootingStraightRadio.com. You can also catch all of the podcasts on the Podcast Hub website, where you can click on your favorite listening platform there. Shooting Straight Radio Podcast.buzzsprout.com. Shooting Straight Radio Podcast.buzzsprout.com. Want to give a huge shout out to some new Patreon sponsors. JT, good buddy of mine, he came aboard as a sponsor. Todd Renack, and yes, even my dear wife, Kelly Bartlett. Tara Engel, and also, let's see, doggone, I forgot to write his name down, but his name is Tom, I know that much. Thank you all for coming aboard recently as sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. All right. I got a great guy waiting for you right here, right now, in the wings. And he is the Florida director of GOA. You've heard me talk about GOA on this program many times, Gun Owners of America. You can go to gunowners.org, gunowners.org, and sign up to be a member of the literal pit bulls on Capitol Hill, not just Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., but also in your state legislature. They've got guys just like Luis Valdez, who is himself quite a pit bull when it comes to defending your Second Amendment rights. And I've had the honor of meeting Larry and Eric Pratt, had them on my program before, also had Luis Valdez on my program before. He's also a very well-published author on some of the Second Amendment websites like Ammo Land and Truth About Guns and places like that. And he has incredible insight into our freedoms, and he is an incredible defender thereof, too. And I'm going to bring him on now, Mr. Luis Valdez. How are you, my friend?
I am doing good, my brother from another mother. It is a pleasure to be on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, as always, man. I really appreciate the fight you are taking to those boys up there in the Florida State Legislature in Tallahassee, man. I see videos often of you up there holding these guys and gals' feet to the fire and keeping the constitutional issues at the forefront for them. And you've got some good stories to tell, and I'm all about hearing them here in just a couple minutes. You recently were up there, fighting for constitutional carry in Florida, and you've run into some real arrogance up there, obviously. And you actually caught some of it on video. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit back and shut up for a few minutes and let you tell us about what's been going on up there, where we're at in the fight for constitutional carry in Florida. Luis Valdez, take it away, brother.
Thank you. So just this past Wednesday, if I remember my dates correctly, I'm always confused on dates. I can never remember them right. But it was February 22nd. We were doing a constitutional carry rally put on by our allies and good friends in the Florida Young Republicans and the Republican Liberty Caucus.
Right.
And after the rally, as we always traditionally do, we had constitutional carry petitions at the rally go or signed. Mm-hmm. And we went into the Capitol to hand deliver them. And we deliver them to the usual suspects. We go to the governor's office. We go to the committee chairs. And one of the committee chairs we went to was Representative Chuck Brannon out of North Central Florida. His area is part of Suwannee County and Baker County, more rural part of Florida. So you would think, hey, this is going to be a really good opportunity. He's campaigned on being pro-Second Amendment. He's from a very strong pro-Second Amendment community. This should be a good thing. So we go to his office, and his legislative aide is there. He's not there. His legislative aide, in kind of a rudish manner, just goes, hey, I got a meeting with people right now. Just put those petitions on my desk. We're law-abiding, respectful citizens, so we do just that because we figure, hey, we have other lawmakers' offices to hit. We'll go around the Capitol. We'll come back. And that's exactly what we did. So about 20, 30 minutes later, we come back, and where do we find the petitions? They're not on the legislative aide's desk. We thought, oh, good, he moved them into Brannon's office. No, they were in the trash.
Wow.
I just want that to sink in. You had Floridians exercising their First Amendment rights with petitions to air a grievance with the government over their Second Amendment rights. And those petitions were thrown in the trash.
That is something that needs to really sink in deep, because not only do we have a right to do that, Luis, we have a duty to do that as citizens of the state of Florida and the United States, respectively. We have a duty to be involved with our government, something I've been harping on for the last month or so on this program. And now we've got people doing that, exactly that, taking responsibility, doing their duty, holding their government's feet to the fire. And this is the contemptuous treatment that our opinions are now receiving from them. They throw our petitions in the trash. Yeah, that really needs to sink in deep for all of us.
Yeah, it was very disheartening because, look, I understand most of them, they'll take the petitions and they just throw them in a box somewhere and they file them away. And it's like, yep, we received them.
Yep.
But to just outright throw them in the trash, the contempt that sends the constituency, that sends Floridians that are patriotic enough to take their time off from their busy days, from their busy schedules, from their livelihoods to attend a constitutional carry rally at the Capitol, mm-hmm. and then to air their grievances with their lawmakers, and for it to just be thrown in a waste bin receptacle is unacceptable.
Absolutely.
I hate to play words, but Chuck Brannon's office chucked our petitions into the trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he sure did. He's earned that name Chuck now, isn't he? Well, that's galling beyond measure. It really is.
Well, it goes a little bit beyond that because about 2-3 weeks prior to this incident, which just happened this week, We did another constitutional carry rally at the Capitol, and it was a similar thing. We had petitions. We went to his office. We dropped them off at the legislative aides desk. And, you know, it's the middle of session, so we figure Brannon's probably not going to be in his office. He's somewhere else in the Capitol. And as we're getting ready to leave, Brannon actually steps out of his office. And this was right about when Punxsutawney Phil was brought out of his hidey hole up in Pennsylvania for Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
And we kind of treated it the same way. It's like he saw his own shadow, no constitutional carry again. Because we confronted him, you know, peacefully as citizens that we are. And we said, where are you on constitutional carry? And all he did was he pointed his finger at one of the cameras that was recording the incident. And he said, I need to talk to you. And then he turned around and vamoosed out of there. He just ran down the hall.
You got that on video, too.
Yeah, we got that on video, too. And at no point did he answer the question. He didn't give a simple yes, no, I can't bring it up because of this. I can't schedule. No, he didn't even answer. He just turned tail and ran.
Well, you also got video. I'm sorry. You also got video of those petitions in the trash can there in his office.
We have video of the petitions in the trash can, and we have more than just video of that. As we discovered that, the legislative aide rounded the corner, and we confronted him on that, and we said, why is this in the trash? And he hemmed, and he hawed, and he gave us 30 different answers. He couldn't give us a straight answer. And part of me, I actually felt sorry for this kid.
Never.
The color drained from his face, and you could tell that he just was backed up in a corner going, oh my God, what do I do now? And part of me feels bad for it because, look, I get it. He's just the legislative aide. He's probably doing whatever his boss says. And I guarantee it. And his boss probably said, man, I'm tired of being confronted on this constitutional carry stuff. So I don't know if he did it directly under the orders of Representative Brannon or if he took initiative and just threw him away himself. But in the end, he basically admitted, yeah, I threw him away, because he said, yeah, I put him in the trash, but I didn't mean to. I meant to put something else in the trash.
Wow. He said he didn't mean to throw those petitions in the trash. He thought they were something else.
Yeah. He gave up that answer, and someone else asked him, well, do you review this with Representative Brannon? Well, yes, I review everything with Brannon. So Brannon reviewed these. He couldn't give us a straight answer within a 2-minute period.
I doubt I'd have felt sorry for him, though. I'd have been infuriated with him.
I'm infuriated for him, but, you know, I still have a little bit of that human side still in me.
Well, you need to fix that. That's all there is to it, Louise. No, I totally understand. It's just the contempt. That's what fries me about our elected officials. And part something else we'll be talking about as this program progresses, not just their contempt, but also some recently exhibited contempt by even law enforcement officials, some in high places and one or two of them on the street level, the way they have been treating concealed carriers and, you know, law abiding gun owners. And treating them like rank criminals. And we'll talk more about that later. But it's that attitude is what's frying my butt like a 3-foot-tall flame, brother. I am because I'm about to trip over my tongue here. I'm so ticked off just thinking about this. They work for us. They have forgotten this. They now think they're our leaders and our rulers. They have totally, they have no constitutional sense whatsoever. And for them to think that it's okay to do that and then sit there and give us some lame butt excuse about it is galling. And it pisses me off no end. So I'll just leave that rant there before I say more than I want to. So,
yep.
It's just, I mean, some run-in. Well, if you got more to say on that, go ahead. But then you also had to deal with another official up there, and you can tell us about that when you get done talking about Mr. Brannon.
Yeah, with Brannon, it really infuriates me because he is the committee chair. He has the power to bring the bill up for a vote. And the constant excuse we hear is, oh, well, there needs to be a Senate companion bill. Look, no, I might only have a high school. I might only have a high school education, but I still remember the episode of Schoolhouse Rocks on how a bill becomes law.
Yes, sir.
And there's nothing in that that says there has to be a companion bill in the other chamber. And furthermore, I've actually read the legislative rules. There doesn't need to be a companion bill in either chamber.
That's right.
The House can advance the bill and pass it and then submit it to the Senate. And then the Senate has the opportunity to either accept it as is, reject it, do whatever. But in the end, the House can advance the bill.
Well, you think that's just an excuse they throw out? You think that's just an excuse they throw out so they don't, you know, in other words, you're ignorant of the process, Mr. Valdez.
They are constantly throwing out the excuse. And I've been told, well, you're ignorant. You don't know how things work. I'm like, no, I actually read the rule book. I do know how things work. I just know how you're playing the game.
Yep. That's true. That's what I'm sick of this process game. You just don't understand the process. You poor little ignorant peon. We up here are the ones making things work, and you just don't understand. So please just get out of our face. We're going to toss your petitions in the trash because you don't understand. And because you're beneath us and we're your leaders, we're your rulers. And this is just the way it is.
Yep. So, in regards to another lawmaker, Representative Michelle Salzman, she's up from the Pensacola area. A very good ally of ours, the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, they did a lobby day. And the RNAH of Florida, they are a multi-issue organization. So they're not just about gun rights. They're about family law. They're about economic policy. You know, they run the gamut of things. But constitutional carry in the Second Amendment is a very important thing to them, especially since a lot of their members fled totalitarian dictatorships like Venezuela and Cuba. So their members understand the end result of gun control.
Yes.
So that's why it's an important issue for them. And they met with Representative Salzman. And mind you, I have to stipulate this on purpose because it was a public meeting in a public setting with a public official.
Mm-hmm.
And under Florida's two-party consent laws, you can't surreptitiously record someone for malicious intent, to eavesdrop, for anything like that. But if it's a public setting where there's no expectation of privacy, you can record the conversation.
Yep, and not to mention she saw the camera.
Yeah, and one of their members did just that, but she didn't realize. She didn't see the camera.
Oh, I thought she did.
No, to my knowledge, I don't think she saw the camera, but it doesn't matter. It would be no different than me giving a speech in public and someone in the crowd has a camera and I don't notice it. There's right. No expectation of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So she let the cat out of the bag. She spoke off the record as if there was no recordings, because you know how politicians play that game of when they're in front of the camera and they're in front of a recording device. Well, they have a very rigid program and script they have to stick to. But behind closed doors, or what they think is closed doors, they let the truth out. Mm-hmm. And she did exactly that. And they asked her very nicely, what about constitutional carry? And she says, I'm a firm believer of the Second Amendment. It would, you know, it's one of my key issues. You could literally put a Bradley fighting vehicle in my yard. And that all sounds great. That all sounds fantastic. But then the truth comes out as to why constitutional carry is not advancing. She said that the legislative leadership is against it, specifically because they're the ones that wrote the Parkland gun control bill in 2018.
Well, it doesn't matter because the people are for it.
Of course, but they're not going to advance a bill that goes counterpoint to what they passed in 18. And on top of that, they have a personal gripe with the bill's sponsor, Representative Anthony Sabatini.
Oh, now look, yeah.
Whether you like Sabatini or you dislike him.
I love him.
That's not our issue as GOA. Because I've told Sabatini this to his face. If he turns around and suddenly becomes anti-gun, I'd go after him just as hard as I go after Representative Brannon or anyone else.
Yes,
because
sir.
Guess what? It is the Second Amendment that I care about.
Right.
I don't care who introduces it. I don't care who pushes it and who backs it. It is the issue, not the politician.
Amen.
Nor the party.
Yep.
And with all of that, She says, and she takes it a step further, she says, as a professional courtesy, I am not going to go against the leadership, and I am not going to co-sponsor that bill because Sabatini is toxic, and I have to bring money to my district.
Okay, wait, She's saying she is going to basically not try to bring constitutional carry to pass as a professional courtesy to other politicians. What about your constitutional courtesy to your constituents here in Florida and the rest? I mean, even the ones not in your district. And what about your constitutional courtesy to the, let's say, Constitution? How about that?
Exactly. Because her answer was, well, the time's not right. We could try next year. And I could tell from the RNAH, they weren't taking that answer for, you know, they were like, we've heard this answer enough times. Mm-hmm. And this is what infuriated me about this. So the RNAH, the individual that recorded it, released the video on social media to show the truth of what happened. Representative Salzman basically spent a month pestering and badgering the RNAH leadership of Florida, demanding the records and names of everyone that attended that meeting as if it was a political dissident hunt, to the point
that you mean like Canada did recently with the people donating to the truckers?
Oh, I'm going to go a step further. More like what the Gestapo did in Nazi Germany or the Stasi in communist Germany or what the secret black berets do in Cuba right now, to where she was literally trying to make the RNAH a political dissident and unperson them, threatening them with legal action to the point of calling their leadership and saying, I have the Capitol Police en route right now. Give me the names of the people that were at that meeting. I want to press charges against them.
For what?
For supposedly violating Florida's two-party consent, which, again, only applies if it's a real private meeting. This was a public meeting in a public place with a public official with a public lobbying organization.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this. Where is this situation right now? Has any of her threats come to fruition?
No, none of her threats have come to fruition.
I didn't think so. Well, but because they're groundless.
It's political badgering and is no different than what you would expect any totalitarian regime to do.
Yes.
And I hate to say this again. This was a Republican doing it, just like how Representative Brannon's a Republican. Mm-hmm. These are people that campaign on being pro-gun, on being pro-liberty, on being pro-freedom, and yet they're mounting and doing this. They're trying to squash people's First Amendment rights to protect their Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that's what I expect in communist Cuba and Venezuela, not in Florida.
Exactly. Well, you know what you said about you, for you, it's the Second Amendment. And that's me, too. I don't care who you are. You heard me recently at a constitutional carry rally in Melbourne. I endorsed our mutual friend, Chandler Langevin. But you heard me give my stipulation that he had my personal support and my personal endorsement. And if he ever turned against the Second Amendment, that I would personally kick his ass from one end of District 52 to the other. He said, I expect you to. So that for me, yes.
And for your listeners that don't know, Chandler is a Navy corpsman. He's tussled with some jarheads. And you tower above them. So if you make that threat, I know it could be carried out.
He's a tough dude. He's a pit bull. Yeah, he's a good guy. And I have no problem giving him my endorsement because, number one, he's out there putting in the work right now. He's not even in office yet, and he's out putting in the work for our freedoms. That speaks volumes. He's not out there necessarily putting in the work just for his campaign and just for his sake of getting elected, even though he is doing that. He's putting in the work for our freedom right now at the grassroots level. And that speaks volumes to me, Luis.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure to work with Chandler even prior he was running for office when he was running Protect the Second out of Brevard County. And he is, as you said, he's as tenacious and he's a pit bull and he's a fighter. And he is sometimes puts his political candidacy and campaign at risk to press the issue. And he's stepped up to the plate and he's put his money where his mouth is. And for that, I'm proud to call him a friend.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I think, you know, we got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we'll pick this back up and we'll have some more Mr. Luis Valdez on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Stand by. And if you try to turn the podcast off during the commercial break, I'm going to send Captain Rob and a listener retention squad to your house and turn it back on. So you better stick around. Be right back. My buddies out at WJS Guns in Merritt Island, Bill Stasak and Dalton and Troy and the gang out there do a fine job taking care of all their customers, including law enforcement officers who want to buy Blue Label firearms. He's a Blue Label dealer for multiple manufacturers. Also, very female friendly. They do a great job serving all of their customers. They will get you squared away and well regulated in your Second Amendment rights. He offers handguns, long guns, a great selection of 1791 gun leather brand holsters, also body armor, ammunition, magazines. What are you looking for? Bill's got you covered out there at WJS Guns. Check him out at WJSGuns.com. If you want to do some fishing, he's got you covered with fishing tackle. Bill is a total outdoor store. WJSGuns.com. Check him out there. Do make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. ShootingClasses.com. If you are a firearms instructor, that's the only logical place to run your firearms business from. ShootingClasses.com. You can set up your page there, set up your profile, set up your classes, take payments there. Your certificates are auto-generated. Rosters are auto-generated. And also sends emails out to your students before the class, reminding them at least a week or two out they have a class coming up. And I can't find any other platform out there where it makes sense to run your business from if you're a firearms instructor. Everything's right there. Even if you want to print your financial reports come tax time, it's all right there at ShootingClasses.com. If you're a student, set up an account out there and you get matched up with some serious, serious firearms instructors. Men like David Boone Benton, Israel Matos, Chris Tonto Ferranto, and guys like that. Bill Orndorff, Bruce Corey. Those are the guys that actually founded ShootingClasses.com. It is, I'll tell you what, it's genius. And it simply doesn't make sense to try to run your business from any other platform. ShootingClasses.com. And back with more Luis Valdez, the Florida Director of Gun Owners of America. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not a member of GOA, they are the premier butt kickers in every state legislature. I mean, it's all 50 states, isn't it, Luis?
Yep, all 50 states and even the territories, because other than me being the Florida State Director, I'm also the Director of Outreach for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I just got a notification on my computer, and that's jammed up the show here. I like hearing the birds in the background there, wherever you are there on the phone. That's a nice touch for the program, too. So, but
That just happens to be in the parking lot. Right now I'm in Vieira at the Holiday Inn Conference Center, and I'm just sitting here in the parking lot under a tree.
Hey, very cool. All right. Yeah, the weather's beautiful out here today, man. I'll tell you what, this is why we live in Florida, no doubt. So what else been going on up there that you want to share with us before I get into a couple of stories with us about some law enforcement officials who apparently are afflicted with the same same problem that our elected officials are afflicted with, apparently?
Are we recording or are we good?
Yeah, no, we're good. Roll.
Okay. So the sheriff you were talking about, we were both talking about the Shames. It's out of Hernando County. It was a Al Ninehouse.
Ninehouse or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a German. It's a Germanic name. So yeah, we were talking about the same guy. I'd like to bring him up.
Right.
If you want, from the LE perspective, I could bring up a personal story. In terms of training, one of the agencies I used to work for, they only believed that individuals with Florida CCWs had to be Florida residences. And if they had an out-of-state DL, that you could arrest them on that. And I had to clarify that with our training division.
And what agency were you with?
I don't like mentioning it.
Okay, I understand. No problem.
Because they actually still feed me some inside info.
Okay, well, good. That's good. But I know there'd been a couple of instances here in Florida and where I've taken issue with some officers, the way they have treated law-abiding concealed carriers. And Mr. Nienhuis, it's spelled Nienhuis, and he basically is saying that there's he doesn't want open carry for Floridians, and he doesn't believe in constitutional carry either. Well, here's an article by Jose Nino, and I'm going to read a little bit of this and just take some excerpts from it. But he is the sheriff in Hernando County, and here's the article. It says, according to a report by the Suncoast News, Al Nienhuis, Hernando County, revealed that he is not personally in favor of open carry. And he says, his quote was, to me, it should be illegal to open carry your firearm. And my question to that is, really? Well, don't you and your deputies carry openly every day? And since when should laws be passed based on your opinion, sir? And then he stated, he says, tactically, it's not a very smart thing to do. If I'm not in uniform, I don't want somebody to know that I'm armed. I want to have that tactical advantage. And my response to that is, well, so what you're saying is the entire state of Florida should give up a right they were born with because of your personal opinion on tactical advantage. No, thank you, dude. I appreciate your service and I appreciate your input, but such a comment to me just belches out constitutional ignorance. Luis, take it.
Yeah, so in regards to the good sheriff of Hernando County, and I say this as a former law enforcement officer, he's flatly mistaken. His personal opinion doesn't matter when it comes to the citizens' individual civil liberties. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's tactically sound or not. If a Floridian wants to exercise their Second Amendment rights in that manner, they should be able to. 47 other states have open carry in one method, in one manner or another.
Right.
Why doesn't Florida? Why is Florida only tied with New York and Illinois on an outright ban on open carry?
Yes, good question. And people call this the Gunshine State, and that's a big pile of bull fertilizer. We are not the Gunshine State. Our rights are horribly trampled here still, and we need to fix that. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just it's. And I hate to use this word because everyone misconstrues and thinks it's, oh, my God, it's a curse word. It's asinine.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Again, he's a constitutional office holder. He took an oath to uphold the state constitution, the federal constitution, and the individual civil rights of all Floridians.
That's right.
And those that visit our fine state. And again, I don't care what the personal opinion is. That doesn't matter.
That's right.
These are Floridians' civil rights. Mm-hmm. Whether he's in favor of open carry or not, you know what? It's Florida. Last I checked, it gets hotter than hell down here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday I just want to open carry because it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Louis? You shouldn't even have to explain that. That doesn't need to be explained as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the Constitution. We don't have to explain to anybody why we feel the need to exercise our rights. It doesn't need to be explained. Even those of us who are very pro Second Amendment, we've unfortunately been institutionalized into this way of thinking that is really not constitutional. Our response should be, it doesn't matter what your opinion is. Your opinion is crap as far as I'm concerned, because if your opinion goes against my rights and the free exercise thereof, your opinion is crap. What if his opinion was, you know, I think we need to reinstitute slavery? Well, everybody in the world would howl about that. Well, by the same token, if your opinion says, well, I don't think you should be exercising this particular right because I think it's tactically unsound and I'm just against it. And since I'm a cop, I'm going to use my influence as a top cop in this particular agency to fight against your rights. That's essentially what he's saying and what he's doing.
Well, it's even worse than that because he's not just the top cop for Hernando County. He's going to be the incoming leader of the Florida Sheriff's Association.
Oh, that's right.
The main lobbying org that the sheriffs use. And it's not the first time they've taken an anti-gun stance. I remember in the last 10 years or so, multiple times they've gone to the state capitol and they fought against open carry. They fought against constitutional carry.
Yep.
They fought against campus carry. And I'm there, you know, and again, I would see this as a private citizen when I was still a sworn officer myself. And I'm just thinking to myself, how can you have this stance? How can you stand there as a public official and tell lawmakers, no, you should continue trampling the rights of my fellow Floridians, because in my expertise as this profession, they shouldn't be able to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Again, this is constitutional civil liberties. This would be as if I was a cop and I stood before a Senate-led committee and I said, well, I think individuals of a certain ethnic persuasion shouldn't be able to exercise their First Amendment rights because it offends my personal sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the outpouring of anger and hostility, and people would be demanding my badge and would be demanding that I be fired and that I would be terminated.
And rightfully so.
But you don't hear a peep of that from the media when it comes to one of the top cops saying, well, I think people shouldn't be able to fully exercise their Second Amendment rights.
Yep, because he's helping to feed their false narrative about gun owners. We are, unfortunately, because of comments like his, Lewis, and you know this as well as anybody else, so I'm not preaching to you, and yes, I'm preaching to the choir out there listening, too. This attitude, this pervasive attitude right there, that's what Mr. Brennan has an overabundance of, and that's what the others up there have an overabundance of, is that we are a disfavored sector of society, and our right is a disfavored right, and we just need to shut up and listen to these guys because they're somehow professional, and the free exercise of our rights and the responsible exercise of our rights is somehow going to contribute to the denigration of public safety. Nothing could be further from the truth. Again, I'm going to remind everybody out there, the concealed carry demographic throughout America is the most law-abiding demographic in this country, even over and above police officers like Mr. Nunhus or whatever, Ninehus, whatever his name is there. I'm fixing to call him Sig Heil with the way he's talking. So, well, unfortunately, something that just really needs to be stressed and people need to understand. I know here in this county, for the most part, we've got most of our cops that I know are very constitutionally minded, but law enforcement in general is not necessarily, you know, in favor of the free exercise of our rights when it comes to this particular right. And a lot of higher ups like Mr. Ninehus, these guys in high positions in law enforcement, they tend to behave just like the average politician, like Mr. Brennan, who doesn't give half a crap about our civil liberties. That's the problem we're dealing with here. And it's an attitude when it all boils down to it. Would that be a fair assessment?
It's very much a fair assessment in the law enforcement community. And I'm not trying to disparage my fellow brothers and sisters in blue.
Not at all.
But there's an issue in culture of law enforcement. And I remember going through the academy 15 years ago. It was never even a subject that was taught in the academy on the citizens' civil rights when it comes to firearm laws. The mindset was someone with a gun in the streets is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I could bring up two incidences that, you know, I just remembered from my experience as a cop. One was a fellow officer made a traffic arrest and was going to charge the driver with carrying a firearm without a license. And I asked him, I went over the stop with him, like, okay, so you got him for DWI, right? He's like, yep, guy was drunker than a skunk. I'm like, okay, hey, you know, he blew, he failed, he's a danger to the public. Why are you charging him with carrying without a permit? He goes, well, he was on a motorcycle. I'm like, okay, where was the gun? Well, he had the gun in the book bag. And I'm like, okay. Go to chapter 790 in Florida state statute that covers all firearms. And under 790 specifically, it says you don't need a permit to carry a firearm in your vehicle as long as it's securely encased.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition per statute is literally in a zippered pouch with a zipper enclosed.
Exactly.
With, or even a shoebox with the top on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here going, okay, what does every book bag have?
Zipper.
A zipper. And on top of that, it's a motorcycle. How else do you expect the guy to carry the firearm?
Good question. I mean,
what? Because he's simply riding a motorcycle. He can't legally possess a firearm, even if he's trying to have it securely encased. And I'm not defending the driver because he was drunk as a skunk. No. But I'm just bringing up the issue of how the law was written.
Exactly. Well, not only that, why would you go ahead and charge him for that when you've already got him for DUI? Why do you have to go ahead and pile that on top of him, especially erroneously like that?
And the officer literally didn't believe me. So he called the state attorney's office, and the state attorney's office was like, yeah, the guy that told you that's right. And literally, I was like, we have the statute book in the writing room. Like, you could just look it up. But no, you didn't even take it. He took it that far. He had to call the state attorney's office to get a second opinion. I was like, really? Like, is it that hard to figure it out? But another instance was we were doing in-service training, and the instructor was like, if you see anyone with a Florida CCW permit and they have an out-of-state license, you could arrest them because they're not a Florida resident. I was like, whoa, hold up. You know, we issue permits out of state, right? That we don't tie our permits to state to residency or not. We have individuals from all across the country that have Florida CCW permits.
Yes.
Whether they live in New York, Hawaii, Alaska, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Northern Marianas, you know, it doesn't matter. They could apply for a Florida CCW permit. And as long as they're law abiding and, you know, they meet the state criteria, they're issued one. And again, this comes down to a culture in law enforcement in Florida where, and again, I don't want to press on my fellow brothers and sisters in blue, but it's a training issue. It's an issue of mindset because automatically most of the academies are just like, guy with a gun on the street's bad. We saw this with Mr. Dale Lee Norman. He was a licensed concealed carry permit holder. He was walking down the street. He had an accidental exposure. His shirt rode up. You know, he was open carrying, which in 47 other states, that's not a crime, but it is in Florida. And he was thrown down by law enforcement because someone was like, oh, my God, there's this guy walking down the street with a gun. Oh, never mind the fact that he wasn't doing anything except walking. He wasn't even holding his hand. He had it holstered.
Yep. I remember that case.
And there was another instance that just recently happened with, I think it was out of Naples, right? Where it was a mother, she was walking her kid to the school.
Yeah, I was going to go through that next, actually. She's facing a felony charge now. She was carrying her firearm on her person, apparently just, you know, a momentary lapse of judgment, had forgot she had it on. And, you know, I forget I'm wearing a gun sometimes because I wear a very comfortable holster. And she was walking her child into the school. Her name was Amber Straub, a 34-year-old mother. And right before 8 o'clock, a school staff member at the elementary school noticed what she called a gun-shaped bulge under the woman's clothing while she was walking her child to the school's entrance. And the school employee notified the deputy there on the campus. And the deputy approached her and asked her, do you have a gun? She goes, yes, I do have a gun. And they recovered a 9mm Glock. She has good taste anyway. And they basically determined that she did not have bad intentions. Okay. At that point, why didn't they let her go? That's what I want to know. And I know, oh, well, the laws that, you know, well, those laws, gun control laws in particular, not probably, I'm going to guess at least 75 to 80% of the time, they hurt good people. And this is the case now. This woman is actually facing a felony charge. And if she is convicted of it, she will no longer be able to own a firearm to defend that same child that she was walking into school or defend herself for that matter. And to my audience, I say, your humble host had something to say about that after I read this article. And I'm going to read that email to you right after we take a short break for a couple of my sponsors to tell you about their products. And we'll be right back on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
I'm Stephen Shoemaker. I serve as a Sergeant E5 in the United States Marine Corps. Throughout the Corps' rich history, the rifle has been the go-to weapon of choice for all Marines. as we defended ourselves, our brothers, and our country. I am proud to be part of Go-To Weapons and to have a hand in building high-quality rifles and pistols on the AR platform. Weapons that I would confidently carry into any area of operations as my go-to. We built rifles for both the military and the civilian market. We know quality. We build quality. We are quality. Go-To Weapons. Check us out at go2weapons.com. Semper Fi.
Counter-Strike Tactical is the best little gun store in Melbourne and proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Visit us at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and see the custom AR builds by Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran. Plus Go-To Weapons brand rifles, AR-15s, AK-47s, handguns, ammo, tactical rifle accessories, and more. Anthony also offers laser engraving and Cerakote. So stop in at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or call 321-499-4949 and tell Anthony that Roy sent you.
And welcome back to the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. We were talking about Miss Amber Straub, a 34-year-old mother who was arrested for simply having a firearm on her person. She had a concealed carry permit, so she has obviously a law-abiding citizen. She had leased her right back from the state. She had a card that says she was okay. And a deputy approached her after a school employee had seen the bulge under her shirt. And she took the woman's gun. It was loaded. Good, because it's supposed to be if you're carrying it on your person. And she arrested Miss Amber Straub. And the Collier County Sheriff's Office posted that poor woman's face all over social media and all over the newspaper and put her up as if she was some sort of a trophy, some sort of a drug dealer or some sort of a pedophile they had just arrested or something, and plastered her all over the place. And I got a little bit annoyed about that. And this was my email that I sent there to the Collier County Sheriff's Office after I saw this. Dear Collier County Sheriff's Office, in arresting Miss Amber Straub simply for, and I put in quotation marks, mistakenly carrying a firearm on her person while walking her child into school, you have essentially lent your authority to the enforcement of constitutionally illegal laws. Why is it that you enforce laws that require children and their parents to be victims in waiting simply because they're in a gun-free zone? Once you realized that she had no ill intentions, why did you not simply let her go? Why did you plaster her face and name all over social media to brag about arresting her and make her into one of your trophies? Why are you okay with ruining her life with a felony charge over an obvious misstep? You do realize that she'll never be able to arm herself to protect her child ever again anymore after this incident, right? And you're fine with that, huh? This tells me that you're perfectly fine with lending your power to enforce other illegal laws and that you don't care if respectable citizens are irreparably harmed by your actions and that you'd probably be okay with confiscating firearms from the citizenry if a law passed requiring you to do so. Apparently, your oaths to uphold and defend the Constitution take a back seat to illegal laws that require you to violate it. You're not serving the best interests of the public. You're serving the power of the state. I'll be discussing this case on the next episode of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast, and I'll be sure to send you the link so you can get an earful. And they emailed me back saying, "Mr. Bartlett, thank you for your comments. We sincerely appreciate it." And that was it. So, yeah, that now you know why I'm ticked off about this case, Luis. Take it away.
You know, I'm going to take it an even step further. So because of the fact the school is a gun-free zone, she now has to disarm herself the moment she leaves her house if her intention is to walk her daughter from their home to the school and back. Mm-hmm. So last I checked, bad things happen when we least expect it.
Yep.
So because of that, a law-abiding, honest Floridian, not just being charged with a felony, is now having to not exercise their rights to be able to protect their own kid because of the final destination they're going to.
Right.
And let that sink in. Gun-free zones are horrible for multiple reasons. But one of the biggest is that it disarms the law-abiding because, as most people are throughout their day, they have multiple stops. And if one of those stops is a gun-free zone, that means for the entire day, they're probably going to be disarmed.
That's right. That's reprehensible to me. Again, this is a law that requires us to stick our children into giant target-rich environments where evil people can operate without fear of armed resistance at all. Oh, but yes, there's a school resource officer there. Yeah, we saw how well that worked out down at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas back in 2018. Worked out really good, didn't it? Because you think the shooter is going to start shooting people right in front of the cop? Apparently, even if he had down there, the guy had probably still sat there and got on his radio and not engaged the guy. But that's another story in another podcast. This is what's so evil about the Gun-Free Zones Act that Mr. George H.W. Bush signed into law in 1990. And frankly, every politician that voted for that thing and sponsored that thing, and yes, even Mr. George H.W. Bush himself, even though he's no longer with us, they have basically enabled all of the 98.5% of all mass shootings since 1990 because they have all taken place in these gun-free zones. And that's what ticks me off about this gun control crap.
Well, in regards to the Gun-Free Zone Act for schools, there's an interesting thing with it. If you have a concealed carry permit, it doesn't apply to you. What she was charged under was state law. It's state law that makes it a crime, whether you have a CCW permit or not, to be on campus with a firearm, because the federal gun-free zone extends, I believe, 1,000 feet out from the school property itself.
Right.
So, and the walk around that as well, you know, that's public spaces like sidewalks. And all that. So what is an individual going to do if they have a CCW? Do they have to avoid it? It's like, well, no, then it doesn't apply. So she was charged as a felony under state law.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. as Parkland already proved, Parkland was a colossal failure in gun control mm-hmm. because the Broward County Sheriff's Office had over 30 points of contact with Nicholas Cruz, the shooter, where they could have arrested him for domestic violence. Yep. They could have arrested him for aggravated battery, for aggravated assault, you name it.
Yep.
And the school itself, because they were part of Obama's pipeline to prison program. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, directly, it was called, for Pete's sake, I remember the name. I talked about it here on this program several times.
But in the end, the program was that the school will not report troubled youth to law enforcement because they don't want them to have a record. Mm. And literally, the school resource officer at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Senior High had multiple contacts with that kid and did nothing.
Yep.
And as you already mentioned, gun-free zones are simply target-rich environments. And we could go all the way back to Columbine.
Yep.
To where the two shooters, they engaged with police. Mm-hmm. And that didn't stop them from doing what they did. The only thing that stops truly bad people from doing it is if the bad guy goes, you know what? I don't know who's carrying. I don't know who's armed. I'm not going to risk it. Because this is the truth. Bad people and criminals are predators. And if you look at nature, the predator goes after the weakest link. And it's not because they're cowards. Mm-hmm. It's because they're savvy. It's why am I going to put all this work for that meal when I could work less and get the same thing? Criminals are the same. They look at it from a statistical standpoint. If I'm going to do something, I want to put the least amount of work in it and get the greatest profit. And sure. with these nut jobs, their greatest amount of profit is they want to cause pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, and I myself am a parent, I say this, my job is to protect my kid, and I will do everything that I can to protect my kid.
Yes, sir.
And if I am going to be disarmed by law, how the heck is the state defending my rights as a parent to protect my kid. Because last I checked, isn't that one of the jobs of the state is to protect our civil liberties?
Yep.
Don't I have the civil liberty to protect my kid, my daughter?
Well, excellent questions. And this is all of these questions, unfortunately, to you and I are rhetorical because we already know the answer. But unfortunately, there's this pervasive thought process, which pretty much is the theme of the day, this pervasive thought process in our elected officials and in many within the law enforcement community. And I, like you, Lewis, I have many friends, close friends, who are former and active law enforcement officers, and we get along swimmingly, although we've had some pretty heated discussions on occasion when it comes to the Second Amendment. But still, for the most part, these guys and gals are fiercely Second Amendment, just like me. And matter of fact, they think along the same lines that I do. But some agencies, it seems like, and yes, there's even one in Florida, as a matter of fact. I know down in one particular county, and I'm not going to say it just to be nice, but I'm going to say it, Broward County, because they deserve a black eye. They've earned it. But there were deputies down there who were arresting concealed carriers at one point for printing, for simply the bulge of the gun being slightly noticeable. They would arrest them for printing. Well, they wouldn't charge them with printing. They charged them with open carrying or brandishing. And then they got sued a few times, and that stuff stopped. But this is the mindset that needs to be changed. I'm all for giving these guys some constitutional classes and making them mandatory and make them pass a grueling exam on the Second Amendment in particular, but in the constitutional areas as a whole. I think anybody running for public office or anybody desiring to be a law enforcement official should have to pass a grueling constitutional exam, an exam on the Constitution, a lot like the 19 and a half hour exam I had to take when I became a licensed Florida, state of Florida general contractor. 19 and a half hour exam. I think they should have to take that at a minimum, because that's the supreme law of our land, and that is the one they should be the most familiar with. That way, whenever some of these kooky laws get passed down to them and they're told to enforce them, they can go, wait a minute, this is a violation of the supreme law. We can't do this. Matter of fact, a good buddy of mine who just recently retired after 37 years of law enforcement, he was known for saying flat out, no, I'm not enforcing that. You can fire me because that's a violation of the Second Amendment. I'm not doing it. And so that was definitely one guy, one cop who was very constitutionally minded. I want to cover one more story here, Lewis, and you can say whatever you want on it, offer any commentary you like, because that's why I've got you on this program, brother. I appreciate your input and your opinions. In Minneapolis, there was a recent settlement because a police officer drew his firearm on a woman simply because he saw her concealed carry permit in her wallet after he'd pulled her over. And it was caught on body cam footage and resulted in a six-figure settlement against the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. And what happened was the officer wrote in his incident report even that he simply believed the plaintiff may have a gun after he noticed a permit to carry card in her wallet. Even though he didn't say ever that he saw a gun, he simply saw the permit. Well, the permit, again, wouldn't that tell you that this is a law-abiding citizen and not a felon? Because they don't issue permits to felons, you know. Even the permit holder, she goes, she basically said, I've got a permit, even though I didn't have my firearm on me. Well, you know what? It wouldn't even matter if she did have her firearm. The officer had zero cause to draw and point his pistol at her. And I think this settlement is righteous as far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that. And let's flip it. Let's flip it to a private citizen. If a private citizen drew down on an individual, because let's say they were wearing a T-shirt, you know, that said that they were wearing the ever classic Christmas sweater. Oh, God, I can't remember. Die Hard. Now I have a machine gun sweatshirt, you know, that's always common. That's always popular as a gag gift during Christmas. If a private citizen drew down on an individual simply wearing that, how many criminal charges would they be slammed with for an unauthorized use of force, aggravated battery, threat of deadly force, you know, disorderly? We could go through the gamut. But you had a law enforcement officer that's did a traffic stop or did a non-custodial stop with an individual due to either reasonable suspicion or probable cause for something completely unrelated to firearms. She was compliant. She was polite. She was respectful. And she presented identification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I've done traffic stops in the past and an individual presents a CCW to me, that actually kind of lowers my apprehension of that stop, because statistically speaking, most permit holders are the most law abiding.
Yes.
Because they know that if they skirt, not even cross the line, if they skirt the line, that their carry rights could be revoked. And that in of itself is a completely different issue, where a permit is turning a right into a privilege, and anything the government grants, the government could give away, can take away. Because yep. I love how you put it, leasing her rights back.
Yep.
But yeah, the fact that that officer simply drew down on her because she had a CCW permit on her person, in her wallet, was she threatening him? Was she making any furtive movements? Was she attempting to draw down on him? No.
Nope.
Just like the mother in Naples. Was she doing anything? No, she was walking her kid to school.
Exactly.
There is something that when I went through, and I say this as a second-gen cop. My old man was a cop for 30-odd years. And I remember growing up listening to stories from him. There's something that's no longer taught anymore, too. Officer discretion and common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was the laws on the books might say something, but officers have discretion for most of that. One of the things that I agree that there shouldn't be discretion on is when it comes to domestic violence.
Okay.
Because that's a whole different story.
Yep.
But there has always been officer discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And look, every cop might not admit it, but they've all gone through it. Where they stop some 16-year-old kid. Kid's got a clean record. You know, he's doing something stupid. What do you do? Hey, instead of you arrest him for that little tiny bit of marijuana he had on him, or write him a ticket for going over the speed limit, you say, hey, throw that thing on the ground, grind it out. Hey, don't let me catch you in this neighborhood again, driving reckless, driving like a fool. Go home. You know, there used to be part of that. Yep. And this is an issue within the law enforcement side of with body cameras. And I think body cameras are great because it lets the public see what's going on. And also it actually exonerates a lot of officers from fraudulent charges against them. Mm-hmm. But this is the dark side of it. You will have some agency administrators review body cam footage and say, why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be in the Naples case. I don't know how the Collier County Sheriff's Office operates their body cameras, if they even wear body cameras. But it might be that there has been repeated instances where someone in the top brass said, hey, Officer Smith, I saw you do this. I'm going to reprimand you and drop paper in your file, because of officer discretion was applied.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you have some lieutenant or captain or major or deputy sheriff or deputy undersheriff, you know, whatever, that they have their pet project is, this is my thing. I want people busted on it.
Mm-hmm.
While the officer on the street knows, hey, this guy's all right. He just kind of screwed up.
Right.
We all have lots of judgment. And that's really an issue. And again, that's why I don't want to disparage my brothers and sisters in blue, because I know what they go through too on this.
Right.
But you're right. There needs to be a class. There needs to be real solid education on civil liberties and constitutional rights.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Because the majority of academy training and the majority of in-service training is about, this is your job. This is what you're going to do. You're going to follow orders and you're going to do it. And we in law enforcement, we are the most common negative contact that the public has when it comes to government. Yeah, people joke about the DMV and code enforcement, but the DMV ain't going to arrest you and possibly strip you of your civil rights. Law enforcement's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there needs to be a change in the culture in law enforcement in respecting and understanding people's civil rights. Now, that doesn't give the public carte blanche to act like the fool in public and riot and loot and commit arson and commit acts of burglary mm-hmm. and robbery and muggings and all that. No. But at the same time, there has to be a balance between law enforcement and the public and understanding I'm a responsible functioning member of society. I have to abide and respect my fellow citizens' property rights. I have to not be act a fool in public. And if I do that, I'm not going to get in trouble with the law.
Right.
But the law also has to understand I serve the community.
Mm-hmm.
My authority is vested in me by the public. It's not vested in me by some higher up in government, because no matter what, we are governed by the consent of the governed.
That's correct. Of, by, and for the people. And this drives home exactly the theme of this program today that has been running throughout it, and that is the constitutional conscience needs to be reshaped in elected officials and in our law enforcement agencies, not just here in Florida, but across the entire country. Because if law enforcement officers refused to enforce gun control laws, just think where we'd be. Now, some of them say, well, I could get fired. I could lose my job. And my comment to a couple of them has been, yeah, well, we could lose our liberties. And that's far more worse. Losing liberties, or I would lose my job before I give up my freedom. I will tell you that right now. My freedoms are far more important, because if I give up my freedoms, then what freedoms will my sons have? What freedoms will my grandchildren have? I can't be one of those people who compromises them. I just can't do it. I'm always going to be fighting for them, and that's why I'm very happy for guys like you, having met you, Luis, and guys like Chandler, who are up there taking the fight to the people in Tallahassee and trying to, readjust their constitutional conscience.
You know, it's really that. We have the moral responsibility to shape the future of our society. And I heard, you know, I can never attribute it correctly, but I believe it was a former executive of Mazda, of all things, an older Japanese gentleman. And he says, my goal is to plant the seed today, knowing that I will never be able to sit under that tree's shade and enjoy its fruit. But I do this for future generations.
Yes.
And that is our job. I want to make sure that I leave a society and a state and a country better than what I had for my daughter. I want her to grow up and look back at history and go, wow, it's so weird. They couldn't do that back then, and we can.
Right.
Because right now, when we look at the history book, it's the other way around. We keep looking back and it's like, man, it sucks. We can't do this today, but they were able to do this in the past.
Yes. And you know what? And we need to pass even that attitude on to our sons and daughters and their children. And it needs to be passed on from generation to generation, as our founders handed it to us. We need to the focus has been taken away from our Constitution and the rights protected therein. And that's why it's been so easy for so many states to be able to take rights from their citizens, especially places like New Jersey and New York and California and other communist occupied territories throughout our land, because they are ignorant of the supreme law of the land, just like those people like Mr. Brennan and some of these officers we've been talking about on this program today. That's the problem, and it needs to change.
I very much agree. It does need to change, but ultimately, it rests on our shoulders.
Yes, sir.
And everyone likes to blame government, but here's the hard, honest truth, and I will rather speak the hard, honest truth every day than soft lies.
Yes, sir.
It's our fault.
Amen. I've said it here many times.
We, the people, are the ultimate authority in this country.
Yes.
We have a representative government. If our representatives are reprehensibles and they are scumbags and dirtbags and they trash the Second Amendment and they trash the First Amendment and our civil liberties and they treat us like serfs instead of like citizens, that's partially our fault because we elect them into office.
Yes.
We actually go, okay, you know what? It's fine. Yeah, you spit on me. Ah, I'm going to reelect you. And 2018 angered me for multiple reasons because we had a Republican supermajority pass gun control after gun control was a complete failure.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of those lawmakers losing office, some of them were elected to higher office.
Yes, like Rubio and Scott.
Exactly. I mean, Rick Scott signed the most draconian piece of gun law in Florida's recent history into law.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of be fired, he was elected into the Senate.
I can't for the life of me figure it out, other than the fact that he was the lesser of two evils. And like my buddy Sarge Lindsley says, voting for the lesser of two evils is still a vote for evil.
Exactly. We, as Americans, if we look at the history of this country, whether it was civil rights leaders, whether it was patriots, whether it was our founders, they stood up and said, you know what? I'm tired of this lesser of two evils. You know, during the in 1774 and 1775, we had a segment of Americans that were like, yes, yes, the crown is treating us bad. The crown is oppressing us. But you know what? It's still our crown. We can still do this. We can do it. And in the end, some of them just stood up and said, enough's enough.
Yep. That's exactly right.
And we have that same responsibility to this day. We have a total of four boxes. We have the soapbox, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. Mm-hmm. And I pray every day that as an American, we never have to get to the cartridge box.
Amen. Me too, brother. Last thing I want is a civil war again.
But to do that, we have to exercise fully the soapbox by using our First Amendment rights, the ballot box by being politically educated and being politically active, and the jury box by being honest, responsible citizens and holding both our elected officials' feet to the fire. And more importantly, if you serve on a jury, you need to do your due diligence in understanding constitutional liberty.
Yes, absolutely, because there is such a thing as jury nullification, and that's just another program. We don't have time to go into that now, but if we were all constitutionally minded throughout the entirety of the United States, we would not be in the position that we are in right now. We wouldn't have some of most of the maladies that we're suffering, and the loss of freedom and the loss of rights. And it just it would be totally different. I'm not even sure we could imagine how it would be if we were all simply constitutionally minded. And that's just the bottom line, I'm afraid. Lewis, I tell you what, brother, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and I hope I get to have you back on here again soon, man. But that's going to do it for us today. You got any final words?
I do. I always want to thank you for having me on. I want to thank your listeners for always listening to me ramble, because as I always say, I have the face for radio and I have the voice for literature. So thanks for having me. And my last final thing, look, folks, I'm virtually holding out my hat right now. You can join Gun Owners of America real easy. It's yes. Just go to gunowners.org/join. It's just $25 a year, folks.
Yeah, and worth every penny.
Unlike some other organizations, I don't travel around in a private jet. I don't have a bespoke suit. I'm literally wearing jeans and a polo, and I drive around my personal pickup truck around the state.
And I can vouch for that. All right, Luis Valdez. Brother, I appreciate you, and I'll be talking to you again soon. That's going to do it for me and for my special guest, Luis Valdez. Don't forget, keep your powder dry, keep your firearm loaded, keep your head on a swivel, and never forget that incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce and Luis Valdez, we're out of here.
So turn it on.